The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. Jesus said to his disciples, "You've heard that it was said, 'You shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy.' But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, that you may be children of your heavenly Father. For he makes his sun rise on the bad and the good, and causes rain to fall on the just and the unjust. For if you love those who love you, what recompense will you have? Do not the tax collectors do the same? And if you greet your brothers only, what is unusual about that? Do not the pagans do the same? So be perfect, just as your heavenly Father is perfect." The Gospel of the Lord. Our first reading comes to us today from the second letter of St. Paul to the Corinthians. And we're going to take a closer look. You know, all week long, all last week, we were reading from the Sermon on the Mount in the Gospel. And, you know, the Sermon on the Mount gets the lion's share of the attention because it's some of the best writings in the entire Bible, Old Testament or New. But all of God's Word is infinite, and all of it is valuable. So you don't want to skip certain little gems like we heard in our first reading. And I'm going to bet you didn't even understand the first reading when you heard it, so it deserves a closer look. The first reading is all about a collection that St. Paul is taking up to help the church in Jerusalem. Now, when you think Paul, you might not think collection, but Paul's collection for the church in Jerusalem was one of his greatest themes, not only in his letter to the Corinthians, but in other places as well. And the collection has its origin in a request of Peter, James, and John. They're living in Jerusalem, where the church is suffering terribly. It's a time of famine, it's a time of drought, it's a time of high taxation, but more than anything else, it's a time of persecution for the church. Isn't it interesting that no sooner has the church begun to exist that it's already being persecuted by the powers of the world? You ever stop to consider how difficult it was to become a Christian in the days of the apostles? This wasn't an established religion with, you know, well-known churches all across the world. It was seen as a splinter group. If you joined the church, you would have to leave Judaism. Very often that meant leaving family and friends and leaving your job, being suspected, whereas you used to be trusted, sometimes being falsely accused and even imprisoned. The church was very, very badly persecuted, and yet people still kept coming forward and asking for baptism. So Peter, James, and John, they turn to Paul and they say, "As you're traveling out there across the lands in the Mediterranean, can you ask the people to help the church in Jerusalem?" So Paul goes around and he says, "Now I want you to set aside something every week, each of you according to your means. Somebody will take it back to help the poor church in Jerusalem." Now here's where it gets interesting. Paul says, "This is not charity on your part. This is your duty. These people gave you the faith that you're celebrating. If you forget them, you are being neglectful." Now, just as an aside, I sometimes have to make this point every year when I remind people about the collection. It's one of the precepts of the church. You're supposed to help the church according to your means. To fail to do so is neglectful. This isn't charity. It's duty because, as St. Paul says, your first gift to God is the gift of yourself. Give God your time, give God your effort, give God your money. It's not enough. God wants you. All of your thoughts, all of your words, all of your actions, you belong to Him. Our goal is that we might be able to say with St. Paul, "It's no longer I who live, it's Christ who lives in me." That's a big task. How do we do that? Well, like any big task, we start small. Start with a morning offering. are for you this day, all my prayers, works, joys, sufferings, sacrifices, in union with the Holy Mass throughout the world. Learn to practice the presence of God. Learn to suffer and to suffer well. And you'll begin to realize God isn't a hobby. God isn't a part of your life. God isn't something optional that you can take or leave. You belong to Him. Once you realize that, and only when we realize that, can we finally begin to keep what our Lord told us to do here in the commandment. Can we begin to love our enemies? I had a man once, he told me, it's impossible to love your enemies. It's proof that the Gospels aren't worth listening to. It's absolutely possible to love your enemies. Because love isn't a feeling, let's remember, right? It's not. Everyone thinks it's an emotion. It is not an emotion. It is not a feeling. It's a choice to do what's best for somebody else. You can do that, even for your enemies. Now, St. Catherine of Siena has a fascinating insight in this. Catherine of Siena is filled with deep insights that you can really chew on. I hope you like this one, because I do. Catherine says, it's not by chance that you're living in a broken world. You know how sometimes you go through the day and you lament the news and you lament the traffic and you lament the way people treat you and you look up to heaven and you say, why, God, why? You think of all the worlds God could have created. Why did He create this one? Catherine of Siena says, it's not by accident that God has allowed you to live in a broken world, because you must learn to love the way He loves. You're His son. You're His daughter. If you're going to be a real son or daughter of the Heavenly Father, you must learn to love the way your Father loves. And Jesus lived in a world that did not love Him back. And He still continued to love. In fact, as Catherine says, you've never learned to love someone until you have learned to love someone who hates you. It's not by chance that you're in this world. And this, by the way, is the way that we live our Lord's commandment to be perfect. Because your Heavenly Father is perfect. You say, wait a minute. Nobody's perfect. Well, if you mean the word perfect to be without flaw, then you're right. Nobody's perfect. But that's not the way Jesus intends His word to be understood, because God never commands the impossible. Perfect means complete. Perfect means total. There's one way and one way only that you can be perfect, as your Heavenly Father is perfect. Your love can be total and complete like His. Everywhere you look, you see the love of the Father as lacking nothing. It's complete on the cross. It's complete in the Eucharist. It's total in His grace. And He calls us to be like Him. Mother Teresa of Calcutta, she once said, you know, I love Jesus very much, but He can be so demanding. He will not rest until we have become like Him. It's a commandment that cannot be reduced to a rule. We might be formed into His image. Amen.